usually they want to split the burden, right? They want someone else to help carry the load of the distress, the decision-making, and just the business in general. They're looking to sort of duplicate themselves and just have someone to bounce ideas off. Really, let's be honest, commiserate.
Welcome to Bold and Branded, a podcast where we discuss the exact steps you need to take to leave your 9-to-5 and step out on your own. From taking bold steps to building a brand, we are here to give you actionable tips so you can walk away and build your business, along with a dose of encouragement, because let's face it, entrepreneurship is a bumpy ride. I'm your host, Courtney English, attorney and entrepreneur, and I've worked with hundreds of business owners just like you. I know exactly what it takes to step out on your own and find success while doing it. Welcome to Bold and Branded.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening in. In today's episode, we're going to talk about partnerships. Oftentimes, people come to me because they want to start a partnership. And I tell you, these are messy. They can be difficult to unwind, often more difficult to unwind than a real divorce with two married people. So that is my word of caution on the front end. But beyond that, I think that most folks want to go into a partnership for one of three reasons. Their first one is usually they want to split the burden, right? They want someone else to help carry the load of the distress, the decision-making, and just the business in general. They're looking to sort of duplicate themselves and just have someone to bounce ideas off. Really, let's be honest, commiserate, right? I find this is most common with my female business owner clients. That is purely anecdotal and an observation I have made over the years. But I will tell you that fear is very real. The second reason that I see people often get into partnerships is because they need the funds. They need to have some kind of cash influx in their business. They think the quickest path to doing that is to bring on someone else who can share in the equity and invest some money. So while that may be an option for some folks, there's other ways around that as well. And the third reason I often see people bring on a partner is a lack of skill. Oftentimes there's a person who has a unique skill set that the business owner needs in their business. They cannot acquire it, they haven't developed it, or there's a time gap or knowledge gap that makes it difficult to grow in that direction. So that can be a tricky one for them as well. And they want to bring in somebody who can fill that gap. Now, I'm not saying that business partnerships are always a failure, because they're not. But the rate of success is pretty small. So if you find yourself in one of these three buckets, let me tell you, there are other ways that you can earn that money, earn that skill set, or lessen your stress without having to take on a business partner. Now, if you are in that first bucket of, I just want to duplicate myself, I cannot do this all by myself, I'm going to tell you that you likely need to step back, look at your calendar, look at your time management, and then make the delegate list. Oh, the delegate list. Many years ago when I started out in business, someone asked me, have you ever done the 3Ds list? I would do everything. And like many business owners, I wear multiple hats. I'm social media, I'm content, I'm COO, I'm CFO. I'm actually doing the work as well. And not just in a law practice, but in other businesses I've owned or own now. So it's common that you wear so many hats. You just want to split that workload with somebody. But if you can do the delegate, do, and delete process in your business, you'll quickly realize that bringing on another founder or a partner is likely not the solution. So this is a simplified version of how you do this. But if this is where you find yourself, I highly suggest you sit down in a quiet space and write out all the tasks you're doing in your business. Now, if you have a technical skill or are a professional, let's say you are like myself, an attorney who's doing legal work, or you're a IT professional who has the specific skill to maybe make some type of code or do something very specific, You don't have to write out every piece of what you do in that. Just write down the vague term, IT work, legal work, accounting work, whatever that may be. Then just write everything else out. Social media content creation, posting, networking calls, email follow-ups, all of that. Jot it all down. Then I like to highlight what I really want to do and what I have to do. I cannot delegate to another attorney. I have hired attorneys and they have been wonderful, but there is a direction you grow your business when you hire attorneys that doesn't necessarily fit with what I want to do. So it doesn't make sense right now for me to delegate that legal work. So it is something I have to do. So I would highlight that, along with a few other things. Now, those are things that you absolutely have to do. Don't think you have to do, you have to highlight what you need to do to keep your business going, just what you personally have a unique skill set to do and know how, which is what put you in business in the first place. Then you pick what you can delegate. I could delegate social media. I can delegate answering the phone. I can delegate certain emails. I could delegate managing my project management software. There are many, many, many things you can delegate. Now, before you come in with fear of like, where am I going to get the money to delegate? Do not. Just start with what you can delegate. And then what can you delete? What is it that's taking up time that really isn't necessary? It's not moving the needle. It's not pushing your business forward. It could be done maybe through software automation. It can just be deleted altogether. There's some things, I'm sure. So think about that as well. Another word on delegate. Delegate can also be software. Years ago, when I did this practice, over 10 years ago now, the software wasn't as robust as it is now. So we'd have to identify key people to do things. Now that is not the case. And every now and then, I still do this audit process. I like to say that I'm rhythmic and do it once a quarter, but I'm not. And sometimes I just do it when I feel that overwhelm creep up. Like, okay, I just got to sit down and relook at everything and prioritize. So there's so many software tools out there that just keep in mind that this delegate process can be very low cost or even a VA. A VA is a virtual assistant. This is someone who does not have to be in your office. You don't have to put on payroll. Oftentimes they have their own business where they serve multiple clients and they have specific niche skill sets. And their pricing varies greatly. I've had ones that I've used that are client interfacing that cost a bit more. And I've had ones I've used behind the scenes just managing some tech things. And they cost much less. So that's an option for the delegate piece as well. So bear in mind that as you work through that list, if you fall into this bucket, that you can delegate in ways that are low cost as well. Because I also realize that that is at the forefront of many business owners' mind. Now, the second thing, if you are in a position where you want to bring in a partner because you feel like you need capital in your business and you have found somebody who has that money, I'm going to ask you to take a breath and pause. I have seen this a lot with people who have grown up together. And I have also seen it when silent, quote unquote, partners come into the picture. Let me give you a couple things to think about in this regard. First, that person is never truly going to be silent. They are going to give you money and expect a return, and you better deliver such a return. Anyone who tells you they really want to be just a silent partner isn't necessarily going to ask for equity in a small business like this or like yours. There are a few exceptions and we could go into a lot of fact-based situations, but bear in mind that if they're giving you something, there is a price to pay back. If you find yourself in that situation with a partner who needs to be paid back or who has invested with a certain expectation, you are adding to your stress. You are adding to the burden of running the business. So while silent partners might seem like a godsend because they just give you money, they don't just give you money. And they have legal rights to the business as well. So as soon as you issue them equity or stock or however your business is structured, they have rights to your books. They have rights to your finances. They have rights to make decisions in some situations. And it really means that you're bringing in another person that you're going to be tied to very, very closely. I see this often with friends who grow up together. They grow up, they're buddies, and they go off and do their own things, and they decide they want to come back together and do a business. Often one has the idea, the other one has the money. They think, well, there's nothing bad will ever happen. We've been friends since we were five. Boy, could that not be more wrong. I've seen that go wrong many, many, many times. It doesn't mean that the parties intended to have a problem. Oftentimes, they both started on the same page. Someone wants to make money, someone wants to run a business. But things just change quickly. So keep in mind that it might seem like a good idea, but there's a lot more to it. And again, you're unwinding. And if that partner you bring in is married and they have a spouse and you have a spouse, you actually have four people to consider. And they can claim interest in certain things. And if that partner goes through a divorce, that spouse might have a right to things. And I'm saying might because, again, fact dependent. But just understand that this is a web and you pull on it and it's going to keep going. So bringing in a partner purely for those reasons can be tricky. What I like to tell people is if it's capital you need, let's look at other options. There are many small business loan programs out there now that serve entrepreneurs of all different stages and at different requirement levels. This wasn't always an option for folks. So keep in mind that if you looked at something a couple years ago, there may be something different out there for you now. So that's something that might be accessible and solve your problems. However, if you're going to borrow money of any magnitude, I always say have a plan first. Where's that money going and how's it going to get paid back? Borrowing money is not free. However, again, it is much easier to repay a loan than to bring in a business partner who you have to repay, plus the damage, plus all the drama that is going to drag into your life and likely your spouses, your family, and everyone else around you. So get food for thought. Another option is if a small business loan is not for you, you may consider private equity. So there's a few ways that that looks. But there are companies that will lend to small businesses with no credit history for, of course, a higher interest rate and usually a personal guarantee, but they're short repayment plans. So it can give you a quick influx of cash. Interest rates might be high and you might be hustling to pay that thing back in a short period of time, but it gets you out from underneath it, gives you the cash you need for the plan you've developed to move forward. So that's another option. I'm not affiliated with any of them. I have vetted many of them for clients over the years, but I will tell you a quick search where you can find them. Interest rates vary greatly, but I also see now that payment processors are offering the same type of thing. I believe Dubsado, if you've used that for business management, client management, practice management, or payment processing anyway, they partnered up to offer capital for small businesses as well. So there's so many of these little companies popping up. Do your research. Make sure it makes sense for you. And again, that you have a plan. Because you're going to have to pay that back. So that is something worth considering. Okay. Now, number three. If you want to bring on a partner because you lack a skill set, some type of know-how or that missing piece in your business that you need to go to the next level, I want you to stop and think. Think about the direction of your business. What is the goal? Is it to have the skill set offered to your clients within your own business? Or is it just to offer the skill set to your clients in some capacity? It doesn't necessarily have to be your own, but you wanted a revenue off of it, perhaps. There's a lot of different ways to structure that. If the skill set is essential to the success of your business, let's say that you own a graphic design business and you do not know graphic design. You cannot fill that role at all. You have to hire a graphic designer to do it and you're just running the business. Then you need to just hire a graphic designer and not make them a partner. So if you have that skill set where the person has to fill that role to keep the business, then you hire them. You do not partner with them. There are many ways to incentivize people to stay with you. You can offer profit sharing. You can offer benefits. There's a lot you can do that does not mean you're giving up equity in your business. I'm very passionate about this because I see oftentimes that people want to encourage their key employees and they realize they cannot run their business without these folks. And here, have some equity. And a lot of these key employees that I've come across have said, whoa, I don't really want equity. I don't want to tell my boss, no, I'd be fine if you just give me a bigger Christmas bonus. Like, I like my job. It doesn't have to be this. Oftentimes, business owners blow things up in their mind bigger than what they are. I see this a lot with salespeople as well, because when you're in that role of like hunting and building and surviving and scaling, you often think of things in such a bigger, grander fashion, because that's part of the thinking process you need to be successful in these roles. But your employees don't think like you. They don't. So the thought that you have to offer some kind of partnership or equity to somebody to work for you is often not what they are seeking. Often your really good ones just want to be appreciated. They might want more flexibility. They want more bonuses, higher pay. And those are things that you need to sit down and play with your numbers and talk to them and see what they really want. Reward them, keep them happy, absolutely. But I will tell you that equity is not many of their goals. Now, I did have a client one time who came to me that said, I have a key employee who just wants equity. And I don't know what to do because they're really important to me and I just need to give them equity. So we sat down with that key employee and said, okay, let's talk about different equity structures. Well, what came out is that key employee wanted equity because he wanted the security that he was going to have a job. He wanted to know that if I own this, I can keep this job. It was a fear thing. So we built in different arrangements that were employment dependent that allowed him to have that security of having a job and getting paid more without giving equity, and he was fine with it. So oftentimes, equity isn't as grand as those people think, and that skill set can be hired out. So I would encourage you, if you're in that situation where you need someone with a skill set or know-how, to see if you can hire it out instead or bring on those employees and incentivize them. This is also common in tech building. If you are building out a platform, you need someone to do it for you. It's very, very common that at the startup world, someone will build it for you in exchange for sweat equity. I'm building this and I need 10% of your business to build this and I want it to vest and trigger and all these things, right? That model can work a lot when the startup world was really hot, especially. We would see that these tech developers were getting extremely wealthy off of other people's ideas and businesses because they exchanged their services, their skills for equity. That has shifted a bit, and I will tell you why. One, it's more accessible to get reasonably cost tech labor than it used to be. There are so many more tools, and of course, with the advancements in AI, that people can have things built at a reasonable cost in a reasonable time and turnaround. There's also more online courses and digital assets out there that you can investigate, educate yourself on the pieces you have missed. So that is a huge benefit that doesn't require you to give out large pieces of equity or to pay someone gobs and gobs of money, because you can sit there and figure it out and kind of piece it together. Another reason it's not as common, I don't necessarily recommend as well, is because a lot of these startup ideas did not take off like people anticipated. It doesn't mean they were bad ideas. Sometimes it's a marketing flaw. Sometimes it is a tech flaw. It could be many different things. But what happens is this equity just sits. Now this person has equity in your business and you can't pay them out and your business didn't take off. That can also be a scary place because depending on your agreements, they might have the right to exit and they might want to be bought back out. So again, that's very specific to your arrangement with these folks and the agreements you have, but that can be very problematic for a business when the product didn't take off. So that is also something that you should keep in mind when you're going through this analysis of if you should bring on a partner. Now, the final piece of this I'm going to mention is something called joint ventures. Joint ventures are similar to partnerships, but very different. When we talk about a partnership, we're talking about bringing in someone to own equity inside your business. They have a piece of what you've built. And while they may be a part of that building process, they still have ownership over the business in some capacity, and it could be big or small. A joint venture is different. A joint venture means that two people come together for a set duration, typically, and a set project, typically. So you would each have your own business entities that would come together to do something specific and then maybe share that revenue, or perhaps you go in a different direction at the end of it, or you decide that you want to go into business together. Joint ventures are a much less riskier route than a partnership. You are not giving up equity in your business, but you're partnering with somebody for a set project. So these vary again by that project and by your industry. But I highly recommend that before you dive into a project partnership arrangement, that you look at a joint venture and if it makes sense for your situation. If you are really in a spot where you absolutely need a person and there is a person who has that skill set or that know-how that you are missing, a joint venture might make sense for you. Again, heavily fact dependent, but it's something worth considering. I've had clients before where one was a business coach and one was a social media coach. And they did a joint venture where they launched these retreats together and they shared the cost, they shared the burdens in their own entities, and they shared the profits as well. But they each had control over how they presented, what they did, and how they ran their side of things. It worked very well for them for a couple of years, and they went their own ways for different reasons. So that was a good example of a joint venture of how everyone stays in their own lane and no one has control over one another or decision-making power in each other's businesses. So that gives you the ability to test things out and to maybe find a skill set that you're looking for without going the route of a quote-unquote business marriage. No matter what you decide in your business, keep in mind that a joint venture, a partnership, equity, sweat, or capital, whatever it is, takes tremendous amount of patience to build, but also legal documentation. These are not things that you can just have an email agreement on or a Facebook message arrangement. They're also not things you can just pull off the internet. Every business is so unique, especially in today's market, that finding some type of quote unquote standardized agreement be near impossible to fit your situation. I highly recommend that you work with an attorney to work through the kinks and to also discuss, hey, should we be a partnership? Should we be a joint venture? Or perhaps is there another option for us? A good business attorney should be able to sit down and give you a couple ideas, give you some things to chew on and some considerations to help you move forward. It should never be just a quick order where you say, this is what I want, and they do it and you're done. There should be someone who could be in your corner to help consult with you to make sure you're putting the steps in place that make the most sense for you, but also protect you and, of course, your business. That's all for now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Bold and Branded, hosted by yours truly, Courtney English. Tune in each week for the latest and greatest tips and tricks for your business so you can also live bold and, of course, protect your brand.